This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, joining us now on the Ben and Skin Show is the COO of your Dallas Cowboys, the mighty Stephen Jones. How we doing today, Stephen?
Hey, guys. I'm slowly but surely getting focused on next year and getting over, you know, a big disappointment. I know it was for our fans and obviously for our team and our coaches and our organization, but you know, there's a lot to be positive about. But you know, as we said all year, we got to build on each game. You know, I think we're going to keep that thing, my back's against the wall. We got to improve on this season and take the next step. Can't go backwards here like we've done in the past where we have a playoff year and then don't make the playoffs. We've got to not only get back, but we got to take the next step, and that's going to be our battle cry as we work through improving this football team and making things better.
Yeah, Stephen, that's kind of where I want to go today is obviously, you know, you're on the station Monday and there's always questions. The first day is like, well, who are you changing and who are you firing and who are you keeping and all this stuff? But what I am curious about is what y'all's evaluation process is like, not only for the staff, but the players. Has that already begun? Is it happening now? What is that process like for you guys?
Well, we had a quick meeting with our staff and kind of went over the game just so we all had a feel for exactly what happened at the game and where we had our where we had our letdowns, and then did sat with our coaches and they kind of gave a one liner on each of the players as well in terms of you know, how they felt their season went and you know, where they felt the future was with those players. So anyway, it was quick. We'll obviously really roll up our sleeves and go back and watch all the tape and give an in-depth review of the entire team and the entire season and go from there. Obviously, we're talking to Jason about his staff and won't be commenting on that at all, but certainly taking a look at that and where we stand there and, you know, really start to put together a plan for the offseason. You know, we don't have our number one pick. We all know we got a lot of our own young players to sign and more to come after the obvious four or five that we have to sign. So once again, we won't be big players in free agency, but you know, I think we've done a good job historically of finding some depth and, you know, some value in free agency that can give us depth on our football team. We'll look at it the same way. I don't see us you know, spending you know, big numbers in free agency other than on our own own players.
Stephen, there was an article in The Ringer that came out over the last couple days that was breaking down how many times Ezekiel Elliott ran into a box that had eight or more people in the box to stop the run. And against the Rams, it was 40% of his runs were against eight in the box or more. Sony Michel had three touchdowns for the Patriots. He only ran against eight in the box or more 4% of the time. Todd Gurley only 6% of the time. C.J. Anderson only 17% of the time. So fans are curious, why do the Cowboys continually run Zeke into a box that has eight or more people in it instead of audibling into a pass?
Yeah, those are all things that we'll go over in depth. I think they're valid points. I think they're things that will be looked at as we move forward and see you know, where we can improve and how we can do better. And, you know, obviously those are things if we're going to improve as a team and improve as an offense, which, you know, you look at, don't know if it's an aberration or not, but you look at the final four teams this year and they're the top four teams on offense in terms of scoring points. And we have to be better. We knew we were struggling with that from the start this year. I think we improved as it went. The addition of Mari certainly helped that. But we have to be better if we're going to get to where we want to go and we want to take that final step, that next step, and get in the final four and compete to play in a Super Bowl and win a championship. And we, you know, we have to improve. No one's satisfied at all. I don't think any player is, any coach is, any scout is. Certainly ownership's not, front office is not satisfied with what we did this year. I think we took a step, but we've certainly got to take the next steps, and all the things you're talking about right now are involved in doing our self-scout, our self-evaluation, and figuring out a way to be better.
Talking to Stephen Jones here on the Ben and Skin Show. Kind of staying on that theme, I'm sure you hear the talk out there, what fans and media say. You guys are a running team. That's what your identity is, and the league feels like it's a passing league. Do you feel like you guys can improve enough internally with the talent you have, or do you feel good about, in general, what you guys do schematically?
Yeah, I think we can improve. I think we can be better schematically. I think we can improve on our scheme, on our design, and I think we can throw the ball efficiently and effectively with the personnel we have. I think Dak's only going to get better. He's had games where we've seen where he's been very prolific throwing the football. I think we've got really good weapons on the offensive side. You know, you look at Amari as a one and Gallup as a two and Beasley as a slot. Obviously, Beasley's a question mark because of the agency. I think in a really strong offensive line with Travis Frederick coming back, everybody gets players hurt. Obviously, missing, not having Travis, affects especially the pocket and the push of the pocket, especially up the middle. So it'll be great to get him back. I think we've got, a good group, including, Sua Filo coming back. So, it's a good base group to start with. But I think, we are going to have to be more efficient throwing the ball going forward. And I think we've got the people that do it. But we have to improve in all areas, including scheme and design.
All right, I want to get your thoughts on a perception that's out there, and I'm sure this is an unfair perception, but I at least want to get your thoughtful answer on this. And there's this idea out there that, hey, the status quo is fine. You guys are close enough. There's no need for major changes. And then business is booming, the number one brand in football, one of the biggest brands in all the sports, and TV ratings are great, jersey sales are great, so business is good. And there's this perception out there amongst a portion of the fan base where I think they think, okay, Jerry is more concerned with business and making money than he is with winning a championship. And I'd just love for you to address that perception.
I mean, that's almost laughable. If you know Jerry Jones, I think the joke, nothing burns hotter in his belly than wanting to win a championship. He would have given up, I think he's on record as saying he'd give up the Hall of Fame in a second to have another Lombardi trophy. I mean, no one is burning the candle at both ends more than Jerry, and more, far from being content in terms of where we are as a football team. And, you have some tough decisions to make every year in terms of what's best for the team. But I can tell you, no one is content around there. He challenges everybody. He looks, unfortunately, for confrontation every day. In terms of pushing us to take the next step. And, I just laugh when I hear something like that. That is the furthest thing you heard him say, too. It's not about the money when it comes to a Super Bowl. You don't want to know what he'd pay in terms of dollars to get a Super Bowl for our fans, for this organization, sooner than later. And I just tell you, there's no one content. And it starts right at the top as one who's the least content in terms of having things be status quo. Do anything that he can, obviously push all the buttons that he can to motivate our group, whether it's myself, whether it's the scouting department, the coaching department, the players, to be the best and to take the next step. And so, like I said, that's laughable to me.
Stephen Jones joining us on the Ben and Skin Show. I'd like to hear your assessment of y'all's tight end position with this sort of context. You know, the league, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that, there's a lot of dynamic tight ends, and we had Witten here forever, and while you see some things that you like from the young guys, can they get to where you need to be? In other words, is tight end, if you guys aren't going to go out in free agency, which you sort of stated, is tight end a priority in this draft?
I mean, I think, we've got some good young players. I think, Blake Jarwin in particular probably has the most upside. But, is it ready right this second? Probably not. So, yeah, I think tight end is very important, in terms of one of our top needs, what we'll be looking at in the draft and looking for ways to you know, make that a, you know, a stronger spot because certainly Beasley's a chain mover forever. Jason Witten was a chain mover. Certainly Blake made some strides this year, but I think it's obvious that, you know, right now we don't have that quote-unquote Jason Witten, Jay Novacek, number one tight end.
Steven, around this time last year, I mean, I remember having conversations going, wow, the Cowboys have a linebacking disaster on their hands. And here we are a year later going, good God, the linebacking position is great. So then you kind of look at the future of Sean Lee and what he's meant to this team. And he's under contract for 1 year, but we know how contracts work in the NFL when it's not guaranteed money. What do you kind of envision how you guys move forward with Sean Lee, who's been so important to this team?
Well, I think that's something we'll sit down with Sean on. I mean, he's such a vital part of this. I'm not so sure, you know, obviously his veteran, what a special player he is, and being the wily veteran he is, you know, he probably played the best in that game. He had about 24 plays, and I would say he played better, you know, probably played the position better than anybody in that particular game. You know, we want him back. I think he's a leader on this football team. I think over the course of the season, you're going to need three guys to man, you know, those two spots. And certainly Sean, you know, where he is in his career, I think he probably believes that it's tough for him, you know, to play all those plays game in and game out. And probably would, you know, could really help us in a role. And we've just got to define what that is. And no one we'd love to have back more than Sean Lee. I mean, he's special. He's what the game's all about. We've had some of those special people over the course of time, and he's one of them.
Steven, you obviously have a bona fide, certified winner at quarterback, a guy who really shines in the clutch, and he's shown that time and time again. But he showed that from the moment he arrived and first started getting the opportunity to play. So my question for you is about his development. Do you feel like Dak has developed significantly since 2016, and what are the ways he's grown the most?
Well, I just think at any time you get reps in this league and you put a year, you know, under your belt, you improve. And I think he understands the game probably more than he's ever understood it. I think he's understands what he needs to do to get better. I mean, you got to understand this guy's 3 years into the league. You talk about, you know, some of these guys, you know, that are in it here at the end, a Drew Brees and a Tom Brady, and they had Romo around here forever and Troy. You know, they will tell you that the experience, you just can't get enough of it. And some of them, even though they had to retire, felt like they were playing their best ball at the end. And I think Dak's only going to get better. I think he'll continue to improve. And it's our job to have the right people around him to help him improve. But as I said, I think he's got an insatiable appetite to be great. I think he's got rare intangibles, rare leadership skills. As you said, he's a winner. And I think he's going to do whatever it takes to continue to grow and help this team take the next step.
You know, and this is the last question for you. I was talking to a former player, and he was talking to me about Romo and when Romo really started calling audibles. He said Romo went full mad scientist in 2013 at the line of scrimmage, calling audibles, changing protections, those types of things. And sometimes we think back and think, oh, he must have done that the whole time. But that's a tough thing to do, be a veteran quarterback and have, you know, enough experience to fully evaluate what's happening and change the plays at the line and whatnot. And we talked about how many times you guys ran into an eight-man box with Zeke in this game 40% of the time. Is Dak at the point now where he can be that field general and kind of an offensive coordinator on the field, or is it still too early to expect that much out of a young quarterback?
Well, I would never underestimate Dak and what he can do. I think he's starting to see these things and get a feel for it. Not that he hadn't always seen it, but he's gaining confidence. I think that's one of the things, you know, that you want to do. You don't want to, you know, ever, you know, just start over. You want to continue to create a foundation that he can build on and yet add to his repertoire in terms of getting the team in the right situations, being able to, you know, make teams have to adjust, you know, and not be able to just put everybody up there, you know, to stop what we do best, which is run the football. And when you got players like Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup and Cole Beasley and Hopefully we'll improve upon that situation. Want to make it pay. As we move forward, that'll be a big part of what we're about, because, that's one of the places, we want to improve all the way around. But certainly, as I said, we can look at who's in these, these final four teams that are the top four scoring teams in the NFL. And, if we want to, if we want to take the next steps, and we're going to not only have to improve as an offense, but all the way around. And that's what we intend to do here in the offseason. And nobody's satisfied, and we've got our eye on the ball and ready to take the next step.
Well, Steven, thank you so much for riding with us once again this season. You know us. We'll probably hit you up a few times in the offseason and beg you to come on again. But we just want to thank you for all your time this year.
Well, I've enjoyed it with you guys. Y'all are a pleasure, and always great to talk Cowboy football and other things. But appreciate it, and let's look forward to a big offseason and look forward to next year.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Steven.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.